Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. You know, it's good to see you guys here. I was a little bit worried because it's, Canada Day. Happy Canada Day as well. And in spite of the fact that it's July 1st, I'm excited to see people here in the church. You know, many of you could have been doing something else. You could have been out in nature and just experiencing God and spending time with your families. But the fact that you're here today, I believe, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm very passionate. But before I begin, I want everyone to grab their Bibles, and I want everyone to stand up. Just real quick, everyone stand up. All right, we need some exercise today. I want you to take a little step to the right and a little step to the left. So after today, you can't say that God didn't move you with the Word of God, okay? It's a little humor for you today. So I am a person that's very passionate about the Bible, and so today we're going to move through Scripture. Is that all right? We're going to move through Scripture. One moment. Can someone help me out here? How do I? Technology, man. I'm just going to do that. So for those who may not know, my name is Boris Ruzindana. I go to Burma University, and I'm studying theology, and I'm going into my last year. Hopefully, it is my last year, so please pray for me. But I've had the opportunity to do my practicum experience here, and it's been a blessing, and I'll share a little bit more of that during my talk. But a little bit about myself, I love sports. I love soccer, playing soccer, basketball. Honestly, anything that has to do with a ball, I enjoy playing. I also love talking to people and connecting and interacting with them, forming that bond. That's something that I'm very passionate about. And also at my time at Burma University, the second picture on the left is our praise and worship group. You know, I love the fact that we're able to show who Christ is through music. You know, preaching is good and talking with people is great, but some people are best receptive to the Word of God through music. And so I've really enjoyed that. And so as I said before, we're going to move through Scripture. And in this morning, we're going to unpack a topic. It's most often viewed in the church as the bloodline, something that fuels our church. And it's considered to be the foundation for everything that we believe and ultimately provides us a way to eternal life. And so my prayer is this, that not only by the end of this sermon, you are grown closer to God and drawn closer to God, but that you and I can be a living testimony to others. Amen. And so this morning, my sermon is entitled, Jumping in Faith. Whoa, jumping in faith. What does jumping in faith mean? As a church, how do we practice jumping in faith? Is faith something that we work for ourselves, or is it something that is gifted to us by God? And I believe as a community in Christ, to fully understand and practice faith, we ought to accomplish these three things. Have the knowledge and understanding of what faith is so that we're able to walk in wisdom. And so what is faith? We've talked about this. And I think as humans, the greatest way and the fastest way to obtain, you know, knowledge is going to Google and searching up in Urban Dictionary, what is faith? But I believe the Scripture has the best definition. And in Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3, we are given this definition. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by faith, we the elders and also people, Christians, can obtain a good testimony. See, by faith we understand that the things of the world were framed by the things that we cannot see, and were made by things that we can, that and which were made by things that are invisible. Before I begin, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that your presence is here with us and your Holy Spirit is with us today as we dissect your word and as we look to you to see your character in the Bible. And I just pray that we have understanding and knowledge of faith so that we can walk in wisdom, God. And so I pray all of these things in your wonderful name. Amen. And so as I mentioned, I've had the opportunity to do my practicum experience here at Central, and it's been a blessing. You know, some of the requirements I'm asked to do is teach Sabbath school, teach adult Sabbath school, taught it this morning and last week if you were here. I also had the opportunity to go to Chinook Winds and teach there, been a part of the evangelistic series that happened a while ago, being in the Bible studies, I got to sit in and Pastor Genna's Bible studies, and I got to meet very interesting people. And one person in particular, I don't know if he's here today, I don't think he is, but I met him, and his name is Lee. And, you know, when he came into the Bible study, he was telling Pastor Genna, you know, how hard it is to be a Christian in his workplace. You know, he works in construction, and the environment there isn't really fond of the idea of God. And so he has to constantly battle his faith with these non-believers, you know. He lived a life away from God. He lived a life away from the scripture, and, you know, he got into some trouble, but he's finding his way back, you know. And we praise God for that. And so as I was getting to know him, you know, we went to the Bible marking classes, and later that evening, we were walking down towards our car, and he was telling me these experiences he's had, near-death experiences, and how God has been a protector over his life. And it was so fascinating to see how God has been providing for him. And we began to talk, and, you know, it was getting late, and I know when it gets late, my mom's going to call me and text me, where you at? You got to come home. And so I was just about to, you know, end the conversation, and a homeless man approaches us, and right now in the parking lot, and he asks us, do you guys have some blankets or sheets that I could use so that I could sleep at night, you know? And usually I keep a blanket in my car, so I get out, I open the trunk, but I don't see the regular blankets. I see the sheets and blankets for Berman. And so I'm hesitating because I know I'm going back to school this fall and I may need to use these blankets. So I'm like, you know, the spirit of selfishness was kind of taking over. And I kid you not, right in that moment, I see God humble me, because what Lee does is he asks the homeless man an interesting question. And he asks him, are you a serial killer? And so the homeless man responds and he's like, no, I'm not. I'm just looking for, you know, warmth at night. And so what Lee does next amazes me. He says, well, if you feel comfortable, you can stay at my place. He offered his home to this man. And while I was worried about all these little sheets from Berman, he offered his place. And so he called his wife and he's like, just to make sure. He's like, hey, honey, we have a situation. Is he, you know, just to confirm. And he ended up staying at their house. And, you know, later that night, they went to McDonald's or something, and he was ministering to this homeless man. And the reason why this interests me is because Lee was very, very worried and felt unworthiness in being the presence of God. God, I've done so many things wrong. How can you forgive me? And I think as Christians, that's something that we often deal with, right? And so he was very adamant. He was like, God, Pastor Genna, how can I be forgiven by God? What do I have to do? And Pastor Genna would reassure him in saying, you know, all you have to do is turn. And so it was amazing to see that he was able to jump in faith. And when I think about Lee's story, it reminded me about a specific character in the Bible, Moses, well known for doing what? Freeing his people from captivity, right? And so this story of Moses freeing his people from Pharaoh was truly an act of faith. See, the reason why I made this connection between Moses and Lee's story is because both of them felt inadequate to do what God had needed them to do. And if you remember this interaction with God, Moses was making this valid excuse of, I have a speech impediment. And so if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, we see this interaction. And it says, Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. See, I think it's sometimes really easy for us Christians to feel inadequate to fulfill the promises that God gives us because of our own limitations. And I believe it is so important to remember that God will never call you to do something and not equip you with the resources and not equip you with the tools to do it. See, I believe that when we truly acknowledge God's presence and who he is, it brings us one step closer into jumping out in faith. And see, Moses clearly sees this value of acknowledging in the previous chapter in Exodus 3, verses 4 to 5. It says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called him out and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses replied, here I am. And the Lord said, do not come near. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place you are standing on is holy ground. See, Moses had the knowledge of God. But I believe it was in this interaction with God at the burning bush that he was able to acknowledge the God he serves, who would equip him to lead his people out of slavery. You see, there's a difference between knowledge and acknowledge. What is that difference? Well, knowledge is facts and information that we gather in our life experience. But to acknowledge means to recognize what those facts are. See, we know that God is wonderful, merciful, kind, loving, omniscient, he's everywhere. All of these great titles. But it seems to me that those are only titles unless we recognize what those things are, what those attributes of God are, so that we are able to emulate what those things do. You see, Moses was able to acknowledge who he was in the presence of, and because of that, he was able to trust and believe. See, acknowledging God allows us to trust and believe. And you know, when I think about Abraham and his story, Abraham is known as the father of generations upon generations. And Abraham trusted God at his word. In Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6, we see Abraham choose to believe and trust God. In Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them.' And he said to them, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it for righteousness." See, so the funny thing about God is his promises are so immeasurable. We can't even count. Yes, Abraham, if you're able to count the stars, that's how many descendants that I'll give you. And I believe it's because Abraham believed and trusted God that he was able to work through him. And as a result, Abraham was able to jump in faith. But this was not a blind jump. This was a jump in full confidence. You see, if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis 22, verses 2 and 4 to 5, a couple of chapters ahead, we see Abraham immerse himself in this confidence in God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, and it reads, "Then he said, 'Now take your son, your only son, whom you love, the son that God promised him.' And he said, 'Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering. And on that mountain, go to that mountain of which I shall tell you.'" Whoa, I am so sorry, church. I'll pay for any damages. So let's continue reading. Skip down to verses 4 to 5. We see more of God's promises to Abraham. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go up and worship, and we will come back.'" These two verses honestly amaze me because it shows to me that faith takes time. Because it said on the third day, meaning that there was a first day, there was a second day, and on that third day, he was able to see where God wanted to take him. And in verse 5, it says that they will go up and they will come back. So Abraham knew that God was going to fulfill his promises, that he was going to stay true to his word and that you will have descendants because he said they will both come back. And it's my belief that Abraham knew in faith that he and his son were both coming down that mountain, and God would provide an offering somewhere, somehow. And Abraham's story to me is inspiring because even though he didn't know how God was going to accomplish what he said he was going to do, he knew that he could trust him at his word. So what seems to be the common thread in coming to know God is that trusting and believing God warrants following him. See, we naturally want to follow Christ when we find it in our hearts to trust God at his word. And you know, I assume this is exactly how the disciples felt when they were called by Jesus. Do you recall the story of Andrew and Peter? Well, in Matthew 4, verses 18 and 20, we see Jesus call out to his disciples, his very first disciples. And it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they immediately left their nets and followed him." See, I believe Andrew and Peter truly knew that there was something different about Jesus. And witnessing who he was, they were able to immediately drop everything and follow him. And see, what I love about this interaction is we see that Jesus used what the brothers were familiar with to call them into his purpose. Jesus realized that their way of life, the way they did things, was fishing for fish. But God wanted them to be fishers of men in order to expand the kingdom of heaven. And so it is my belief that when people find the truth, it will persuade them to follow the truth, even if it means leaving the old things behind. Now, do we see this happening in our society today? I'm happy to say that there is. You know, a couple months ago, there was an evangelistic series, a Revelation Speaks series at Winsport, and, you know, Pastor Sean Boonstra and Pastor Alex were there, and they did a wonderful job in explaining the gospel. And, you know, what this event did, it brought the community all the way to the Winsport area to hear about the gospel. And it really changed the lives of many people. A lot of these people that are now in our church left their faith, left their family, perhaps, to follow and pursue what is truth. And honestly, this for me is a true act in jumping in faith. And I'm happy to see this happening in the church. So what happens when we follow God? Is it this one-time thing where we commit and that's all we're expected to do? Does life get easier when we make this commitment? And just like any relationship you have with someone, it requires a commitment. It requires you to endure. And it also means that you want to spend time with that friend. It also means that you want to spend time with that significant other. And I think it's important, not only for non-believers, but also those who were raised in the church, that faith is not measured by size, but measured in duration. What does that mean, Boris? You know, if you have a big faith, you have a big faith. And so earlier this week, I was talking to Pastor JP, and he shared with me a video that honestly changed my whole outlook on what faith is. And he showed me the video, and it was referring to in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 31. We won't read it all, but it's the story of Peter walking on water. And so you realize in the story that Jesus went to go pray on a mountain, and he sent his disciples out away on the sea. And, you know, they encountered winds and all of this trials. But then they see a ghost, and they're like scared for their lives, because obviously anyone in their right mind would be scared if they saw a ghost. And so we see in verse 28, Peter says, "Lord, Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water." And so Jesus replied, and he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith." Now, I'm sorry, but with this new foundation of what faith is, Jesus, why are you telling him that he has little faith? Because clearly it took a lot of faith for him to even get off that boat. It wasn't like Jesus said, "Okay, out of the 12, whoever is the greatest in faith, come out." Jesus didn't say that because of he having little faith. Peter took a lot of faith for him to initiate that conversation and say, "God, if this is you, allow me to come up on the water and walk." So it wasn't about his size of the faith, because the Bible says even if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll be able to move mountains. So what is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about the length of his faith. His faith didn't last him when the winds and all of these things were coming his way. His faith did not last. You see, the Bible is full of a lot of characters who had faith that last. And when I think about Joseph, in my opinion, I think he's the prime example of somebody embodying faith that lasts long, the faith that is willing to endure. See, Joseph endured through what I like to call the three T's in life: trials, tribulation, and temptation. Joseph faced everything and everything. See, Joseph, from the time he was young, was favored by his father Jacob, you know, and this really angered his brothers. You know, I have three older siblings, and I like to believe that I'm the favorite, and so I can empathize with Joseph. I can really empathize with the fact that he was favored by God. He got this coat, and he was favored by his father, and he got this coat, and he was willing to accept this as something good, you know. And in the book of Genesis 37, we see Joseph excited to tell his family about a dream. However, he did not get the reaction he was hoping for. If you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis 37, verse 5, we see this. And the Bible says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and his brothers hated him even more." You know, this verse is very powerful because it reminds us that sometimes where God has called us into a purpose, it might anger those around you, even those who may be close to you. And so from then on, Joseph faced many trials. You know, he was sold into slavery. He was sold into slavery in a land that was not his own, you know. And when he kind of got off his feet, he was then tempted by Potiphar's wife, which landed him in jail. And all of this was leading him to where God wanted him to be. You know, this was a jump in faith because throughout all of those things, he could still sing praises to God. And so in my own experience, in my own life, and being at Berman, it's nothing into comparison with what Joseph had to deal with. But in my own life, I've realized that acknowledging the God that I serve will allow me to believe and trust him at his word so that I may follow him and that I can endure whatever trials, tribulations, and temptations come my way. So I remember feeling really depressed a lot of times, you know. People can be really troublesome, you know. And especially at Berman, it's a small school, so everybody's business is everywhere. And I remember feeling very, very, very depressed and very down. But I always trusted in God that he will take me through it. I had to practice in that faith that's not so much big on quality, but on how much, on how far it will take me and how far it will land me. And so, church, remember, for anything impossible, trust in him. And that's what faith is. For anything impossible, trust him. See, we've covered a lot this morning, but I pray that you remember that to walk in wisdom and jump in faith, we ought to acknowledge that God is in our lives and that his presence is in our life so that we are able to trust and believe God at his word. And when we realize that we can trust God, we will naturally want to follow him and commit our lives to him. And he will give us the strength that will persevere and endure anything that comes our way. And so as you go into this week, remember to walk in wisdom and jump in faith. And may God bless you and be with you and be a living testimony to others. Amen.